Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this state, Tuesday, December 3rd, 2019. So I believe there's 23 days until Christmas. I hope you all had a nice Thanksgiving holiday. I was out last week, and now I'm back to read the paper with you. So we'll begin with some of today's headlines. The first headline reads, Shooting of 10-year-old. Anger and outrage. And there's a picture, two pictures here on the front of the newspaper. One is of a man, and it's Garden Hills Neighborhood Association President Chad Smith talks Monday about the shooting at 1609 Williamsburg Drive in Champaign that sent 10-year-old Dakari Roberts inset to the hospital. So this is a picture of him. He's got a baseball cap on. He's got a beard and a kind of a hoodie on, and he's standing in front of a white house in just your average neighborhood. And then above, there's an inset picture of a young boy. He's 10 years old. He's got a little hat on, and he just seems to be sitting and singing with friends. And his name is Dakari, D-E-C-A-R-I, Roberts. More calls for community to help slow gun violence after latest incident. This article is written by Julie Worth and is based out of Champaign. A 16-year-old is shot and killed, then a 14-year-old. Now a 10-year-old lies hospitalized, critically wounded by gunshots that pierced the walls of a Champaign home while he was in bed Sunday night. Residents of the Garden Hills neighborhood and other community leaders are weary of the violence, especially when it affects children. People are outraged because it was a 10-year-old, said City Council member Clarissa Foreman. It's tough because I think we've become so desensitized. People are going to be upset, and then they're going to move on. And we're going to keep going, but the story continues on the back page of the paper. It says, shooting. As soon as he heard my voice, he opened his eyes. So there's also a picture here of pedestrians as they walk down the middle of the 1600 block of Williamsburg Drive in Champaign on Monday, near where 10-year-old Dakari Roberts was shot late Sunday evening. And to continue the story, a 14-year-old died, a 16-year-old died. How low are the ages going to go before they stop shooting at people's houses? Police said multiple shots were fired into the home in the 1600 block of Williamsburg Drive around 11:30 p.m. Sunday. Police recovered four or five shell casings outside, said spokesman Tom Yellick. The 10-year-old was hit twice, suffering two life-threatening gunshot wounds, police said. Officers administered first aid until the boy was rushed to a local hospital for surgery, where he was listed in critical condition on Monday, police said. His mother, Lenita Roberts, posted on Facebook Monday afternoon that he was responding to her, wiggling his toes, nodding his head, and squeezing her hand. As soon as he heard my voice, he opened his eyes, she wrote. Her son, Dakari Roberts, is a student at Stratton Elementary School in Champaign, where social workers, psychologists, and other professionals were made available to talk to students and staff. Investigators don't believe he was the intended target. No arrests had been made as of Monday evening. Investigators are asking homeowners and businesses in the area with surveillance cameras to contact the police department at 217-351-4545. That's 217-351-4545 to share video footage. Anyone with information about the incident can also contact police at that number or Crime Stoppers at 217-373-8477. That's TIPS, or 373tips.com, or the P3Tips mobile app. All Crime Stoppers tips are anonymous. Not a random act. On Monday, around 12:30 p.m., shots were fired near West White Street and Kenwood Road, prompting a heavy police response. But no arrests were made, Yellick said. No one was injured, though some residential buildings were damaged by gunshots, he said. It's too soon to say if the two incidents were related, he said. Chad Smith, president of the Garden Hills Neighborhood Association, spent time Monday with the Roberts family offering his help. He said family members told him Dakari was in his bed when the shots were fired. His sister tended to him, and then woke up the adults to call for help, he said. It's extremely sad, he said. One bullet went through a window and several walls, lodging in the kitchen, he said. Smith and Foreman said the house had been shot at about a month ago. That's not a random act. That's not a mishap. It's targeted, Smith said, though he said the family didn't know why. Smith said the Neighborhood Association's steering committee is discussing what it can do, working with community resources and outreach programs. He hopes there's no retaliation and witnesses cooperate. I want this person to serve justice appropriately. I don't want another accident like this to happen to someone else's family, Smith said. Foreman agreed. I don't know when it stops, and I don't know how to make it stop, she said. When does the community say, we will no longer protect shooters? What's it going to take until we, as a community, hold shooters accountable? Someone knows who shot up this house. Anti-violence efforts. Last May, 14-year-old Elijah Booker of Champaign was accidentally shot and killed by a 15-year-old friend, whose family initially did not cooperate with police. The 15-year-old, who had been on probation for aggravated battery, was eventually sent to juvenile prison, possibly until his 21st birthday. And in June, Jacquavion Faust, F-A-U-S-T, 22, was charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder in the August 2018 fatal shooting of the 16-year-old David Sankey, who was found near the intersection of Paula Drive and Larkspur Lane. More than 100 people attended a memorial for the former Champaign Central student. Council member Will Kiles thinks the latest shooting will motivate those working to end gun violence, city agencies, churches, neighborhoods, and community members to work even harder. Stuff like this leaves you speechless, Kiles said. At the end of the day, it makes us even more committed to the mission that we have. Kiles wants to canvass neighborhoods to remind people that we care. We have to get back to knowing our neighbors, just showing genuine love and care for each other, he said. He believes the community coalition and other anti-violence efforts have an impact. A setback like Sunday night shooting doesn't take away from all the work that's been done, and it doesn't take into account all the violence and gunshots that have been prevented. You don't get the reports on all the lives that have been saved, he said. Community call out. Foreman said the community coalition and other proactive programs are effective in catching kids before they go down that path, but she also blames the prevalence of guns. I know people who are carrying guns just to have a gun. Once you pick up a gun and have it for protection, you're saying you don't mind using it, she said. It's scary. Dante Lotz, a social worker in Wiley Elementary School in Urbana and a community activist, said his initial response to Sunday's shooting was anger and outrage. Lotz said the community has organized several initiatives to share information and try to find solutions. He's not sure whether the problem is a lack of resources, people not taking advantage of them, or an issue with family structure and dynamics. Many people struggle with basic needs or are unable to teach their kids necessary social-emotional aspects of life, he said. He believes the answer is to start early. He's worked for 2 decades to connect with families through the Boys and Girls Club, the READY program, coaching, and volunteering. He's also part of a mentoring program for middle school and high school boys. If change is going to happen, it has to come from the community. You can have as many agencies and organizations involved, but until the community stands up, it won't happen, he said. And now let's take a look at our weather forecast for the next week. This is provided to us by Greg Solier and his column on the weather front. During the next few days, much of the country will experience a gradual warming trend. Meanwhile, a storm system near the west coast will drift inland by midweek, delivering widespread precipitation across California, the Great Basin, and the Southwest. A storm system near the northern Atlantic coast will produce significant precipitation and wind through today. Much of the central and eastern U.S. will experience a period of tranquil weather. Looking ahead, the 6 to 10 day outlook calls for near or above normal temperatures and precipitation across most of the country. Today, 42 degrees is the high, 27 is the low, partly sunny. Overnight, partly cloudy with winds up to 20 miles per hour. Wednesday, the high will be 43, the low will be 27. Mostly sunny and breezy. Overnight, clear and windy. Thursday, the high will be 45, the low will be 30, it will be partly cloudy. Friday, the high is 42, the low is 32, partly sunny. And Saturday, the high will be 43, and the low is 26, and it will be mostly sunny. And the next headline reads, legalized marijuana, Savoy, no go on pot. Ahead of vote, trustees express reservations. This article is written by Ben Sigderman and is based out of Savoy. In October, Savoy leaders voted to impose a just-in-case 3% tax on marijuana sales, but delayed a decision on whether to allow the drug to be sold at all in the village. Now that a dispensary has expressed interest in opening in Savoy, that time has come. At Wednesday's meeting, the village board will vote on an ordinance to ban sales once recreational marijuana becomes legal statewide, 29 days from now. They decided to take a wait-and-see attitude, village manager Dick Helton said. Recently, we've had an inquiry from someone who was looking at Savoy for a cannabis operation, later clarifying that it would be a dispensary. The board could vote on it if they choose to, Helton said, but they don't have to. At a previous meeting, the board had also considered allowing sales, but requiring special use permits for any new dispensaries. In earlier meetings, two residents have spoke strongly in favor of sales, while three others expressed a range of concerns. At one meeting, trustee A.J. Ruggieri, that's R-U-G-G-I-E-R-I, said he believed more members of the community were against sales than for it. In subsequent communications with citizens, whether it be in person or on Facebook, it is a close call. But the majority clearly, I feel, does not support it, he said. It's unclear whether the sales ban will pass Wednesday, but several trustees have expressed concerns about embracing cannabis sales. When Savoy moved forward with a sales tax earlier this fall, Village President Joan Dykstra said that we wanted to make sure all our bases were covered legally and still send a message that we, at this point, are not inclined to allow the sale of recreational marijuana. Champaign and Urbana decided earlier this year both to allow sales and tax them at 3%. Champaign is expecting an additional $625,000 to $955,000 in annual revenue, and Urbana could see another $275,000 to $550,000. Each town has a medical marijuana dispensary. Phoenix Botanical in Champaign has also received a license to begin selling cannabis for recreational use starting on January 1st. NUMED, that's N-U-M-E-D, in Urbana, is seeking a recreational marijuana license as well. Also in the middle of this page on A5, Rumbling and Tumbling. The Jesse White Tumblers perform at halftime of Monday night's Big Ten ACC Challenge game at the State Farm Center in Champaign. Miami held on for a 81-79 victory, handing the Illini their third straight loss in the annual showcase. And there's more coverage in the sports section, but I just wanted to highlight this picture. It's at the State Farm Center. There's lots of fans in the background in their orange and blue Illini clothes, gear. And the Jesse White Tumblers, they're all, a man is high up in the air doing a flip, and there's a trampoline, and they're all kind of poised and getting ready for their flips. And it's about one, two, three, four, five, like six of the Jesse White Tumblers, and they look really good. The next headline reads, Urbana Park District, $10 million health and wellness center worth discussing. This article is written by Deborah Pressey and is based out of Urbana. The park district that brings you the annual Turkey Trot, the Anita Purvis Nature Center, and Crystal Lake Park wants to add a brand new amenity to help boost health and wellness in the community. That is, a brand new health and wellness center. But first, the Urbana Park District wants to hear from the public about what kind of amenities and services should be included, what kinds should be included. A public open house to provide some input will be held from 4 to 6 p.m. Wednesday at the district's Phillips Recreation Center, which is located at 505 West Stoughton Street in Urbana. Park District Executive Director Timothy Bartlett said a health and wellness center is a much-needed asset that could help the community, from young kids to older adults, get moving and stay more active. The Park District currently leases gym space at Champaign County's Brookins Administrative Center, and that lease will be up in 2021, Bartlett said. That gym is used for sports activities, but it has limitations, among them in programming hours and the fact that it can hold just one activity at a time, he said. Urbana, several sites currently under consideration. To help develop plans for a new health and wellness center, the Park District has been working with a facility designer and an advisory committee, Bartlett said. District representatives have also visited health and wellness centers in about 15 different communities in Illinois. What they observed at these centers was that they were generally scheduled with activities morning through evening, Bartlett said. They also provided some open times for facility uses, something the Urbana Park District would like to offer the public, and they were social beehives of their communities, he said. What the Park District is considering building is a 40,000-square-foot center for multi-generational use at a cost of about $10 million to be funded without a tax increase, Bartlett said. It would potentially include a multi-court gym facility, fitness equipment, a raised and elevated track, meeting spaces for arts, crafts, and cultural activities, locker rooms, and a kitchenette. This facility could also help provide drop-in activity spaces, for example, providing a place to go for teens who want to shoot hoops and a place for families to stay active when the weather isn't great for outdoor activities. If you have 7 months of weather like today, where do you take your kids to burn off energy? Bartlett said. To help pay for the new center, the Park District hopes to secure $2.5 million in state grant funding, he said. The district also freed up $5 million by refinancing existing bonds with more favorable interest rates and would potentially use half that money to make a total of $5 million available for the new facility, with the rest raised through private donors, Bartlett said. If necessary, the Park District could potentially phase in the development of the new center, with gym and fitness spaces being the highest priorities to provide first, he said. Where the center would be built remains under consideration. The state grant funding will be prioritized in favor of projects using sites the applicants already own, Bartlett said. The sites the Park District is considering are all open land, he said. Some Park District land, such as Crystal Lake Park, would be off limits because indoor recreation facilities can't be built on properties that were acquired with land and water conservation funding, he said. It basically knocks out a lot of potentially good sites, but we have a couple of sites that could work, Bartlett said. And now, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Jim Rosso. Two of our Christmas favorites, Santa Claus, returns to the Virginia Theater on Wednesday, Thursday, and December 12th from 5 to 7 p.m. each day. Kids of all ages are invited to downtown Champaign for a candy cane and a picture with the big fella at a free-of-charge event that is growing in popularity each December. And it's year 10 for the inspiring and helpful Christmas Day dinner at First Christian Church in Champaign. Jim Turpin will MC on December 25th. To reserve a spot or volunteer, call or text 217-493-9323 or visit FCC, that's First Christian Church, FCC-online.org/Christmas Dinner. And underneath the picture of Jim Rosso, because there's just a picture, a headshot of him, there's also a picture of Santa Claus sitting in a nice big red comfortable chair next to a Christmas tree, and that's to promote the Santa Claus event at Virginia Theater. Now in history, area history. In 1919, with a Fight 'em talk by Coach Bob Zupke crowning the evening's events, the Champaign Rotary gave its first annual dinner to the U of I football squad at the Inman Hotel on Monday evening. For 16 years, J.M. Kaufman and Charles B. Hatch entertained the team, but a desire to make the event more representative of the community resulted in the two hosts relinquishing the management of the affair to the Rotary Club. In 1969, Urbana Mayor Charles Ziprot will ask the City Council to approve a strong mayor government proposal that would go on the ballot in the spring of 1971. Under the plan, he said, the City Council would be primarily legislative, acting only on proposals brought to them. In 2004, plans are underway to open side-by-side locations for a Starbucks coffee shop and a Potbelly Sandwich Works restaurant in Champaign's campus town next year. That's in 2004. Both will be located at 501 East Green Street, where construction on the shell of the building is already proceeding, according to Jim Lopez, project manager for the contractor, Broren Russo Construction in Champaign. In international history, today's highlight. On December 3, 1979, 11 people were killed in a crush of fans at Cincinnati's Riverfront Coliseum, where the British rock group The Who was performing. On this date in 1818, Illinois was admitted as the 21st state. In 1964, police arrested some 800 students at the University of California at Berkeley, one day after the students stormed the administration building and staged a massive sit-in. In 1992, the first telephone text message was sent by British engineer Neil Papworth, who transmitted the greeting, Merry Christmas, from his work computer in Newbury, Berkshire, to Vodafone executive Richard Jarvis's mobile phone. The next headline reads, count them in, 105 days until March primary. There will be plenty of competition for several seats in area counties, as well as one crowded congressional district, when the primary election is held on March 17, 2020. As of Monday's 5 p.m. filing deadline, here are the lineups. Incumbents noted by asterisk. U.S. House of Representatives. From the 13th District, Rodney Davis. He's an incumbent, so he has an asterisk by him. He's a Republican from Taylorville. Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan, a Democrat from Springfield. And Stephanie Smith, a Democrat from Urbana. For the 15th District, Darren Duncan, a Republican from Rossville. Kerry Wolf, a Republican from Altamont. Mary Miller, a Republican from Oakland. Chuck Ellington, a Republican from Camargo. Kimberly Wade, a Republican from Grafton. Kent Gray, a Republican from Leland Grove. Craig Morton, a Democrat from Salem. Kevin Gaither, a Democrat from Charleston. Erica Weaver, a Democrat from Mattoon. And John Hersey Jr., a Democrat from Collinsville. For Champaign County, City Clerk Katie Blakeman, she's an incumbent Republican. Robert Burkhalter is a Democrat, and Susan McGrath, a Democrat. For coroner, it's Dwayne Northrup, the incumbent, he's a Republican, against Chandra Bishop, a Democrat. As recorder, Mike Ingram is a Democrat. Mark Sheldon, the incumbent, is a Republican. Auditor, George Danos, incumbent, Democrat. State's attorney, Julia Reitz, incumbent, Democrat. County Board District 1, Jacob Paul, Republican. County Board 2, Diane Michaels, Republican. County Board 3, Stanley Harper, incumbent, Republican, against Beau Barber, a Democrat. County Board 4, Kelly Lee Mansfield, a Democrat, against Brad Pasolacqua, a Republican. County Board 5, Jordan Humphrey, Democrat. County Board 6, Richard Montgomery, Republican. Deshaun Williams, a Democrat, and Charles Young, the incumbent, also a Democrat. County Board 7 is Kyle Patterson, the incumbent, a Democrat. County Board 8, Emily Rodriguez, a Democrat, against Gerardo Rosales, the incumbent and a Democrat. County Board 9, Jennifer Straub, Democrat. Cynthia Fears, Democrat. Steve Summers is a Democrat incumbent. County Board 10, Mary King, Democrat, Chris Starr, who is the incumbent and a Democrat, and Connie Dillard Myers, who is a Democrat and the incumbent as well. County Board 11, Titania Amons, who is a Democrat. And 6th Judicial Circuit, Tom DeFantis vacancy. The opponents are Scott Lerner, a Democrat, and Jason Baum, Republican. The Attorney General Weber vacancy, Jeffrey Geisler, Republican. Mike Jones vacancy. The opponents will be Sherilyn Kessler, Republican, against David Moore, Democrat. Ruth Wyman, Democrat. Troy Lozar, Democrat. And Ramona Sullivan, Democrat. Hugh Finson vacancy. Dana Rhodes, Republican. And the 11th Judicial Circuit, Robert Freitag vacancy. Only person going or running is Jason Chambers, who's Republican. And this was all brought to us by Deborah Pressey and Ben Zigterman. So again, the primary election is held on March 17th, 2020. And this was the filings that were submitted by Monday's 5 p.m. filing deadline. So a good mix of Republican and Democrats there. So that's nice. The next headline reads, Crime Stoppers, police on the lookout for credit card burglar. This article is written by Mary Shank and is based out of Urbana. Champaign County Crime Stoppers needs help finding a person who broke in a locked vehicle, stole a credit card, and used it. About 1 p.m. on Sunday, October 27th, an unknown person broke into a locked vehicle at the Urbana Dog Park. The burglar broke the window to get to the victim's purse on the front seat, then stole it. About 10 minutes later, a woman was caught on camera using the victim's credit card at Walmart in Urbana. She was described as white, 25 to 35 years old, 5'7" to 5'10", with a tattoo on her neck. She was last seen wearing a very distinctive black hooded sweatshirt and jeans. Investigators ask if you have information on these crimes to contact Crime Stoppers at 217-373-TIPS. That's or also 373tips.com or via the P3 Tips mobile app. Tipsters are always 100% completely anonymous when contacting Crime Stoppers. All tips are electronically stripped of any personally identifying information and processed by a third-party answering service. Tipsters will never be asked their name and are given a secret code number to use when checking on a possible reward. Cash rewards of up to $1,000 may be paid on tips that lead to an arrest. The next headline reads, Champaign gas station robbery. Suspect arrested after brief chase. This article is written by Deborah Pressey and is based out of Champaign. A 48-year-old Champaign man has been arrested in connection with a recent armed robbery at the Circle K gas station at 1503 North Neal Street in Champaign, according to Champaign Police. Derek, D-E-R-R-I-C-K, Cox, C-O-X, was arrested at 10:30 a.m. Monday for armed robbery and resisting arrest. He was apprehended at the intersection of Hedge Road and Bradley Avenue in Champaign after a brief chase on foot, and a pellet gun was seized during his arrest, police said. Cox also had two outstanding arrest warrants from Champaign and McLean County, according to police. The armed robbery occurred at about 3:05 a.m. November 26, when a robber entered the store, looked at various items, and made a small purchase. He then showed a black pistol and told the clerk to give him money from the cash register and left with an undisclosed amount of cash. Anyone with additional information about this robbery can contact police at 351-4545. Arrangements may be made for information to be shared privately. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette dated for this date, Tuesday, December 3rd, 2019. I'll resume shortly with the second part of the News Gazette, so please stay with me. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day.